Spirit. So we have the we don't want to just start things, so those people who are new, you probably get into it pretty quickly actually. Okay. We're just starting off. So let's go to lesson two. And it's gonna go we've already gone through the grammar, so I'm just gonna go through the exercises and then move on to lesson three afterwards. So lesson three is really easy, there's hardly anything to it at all actually. Yeah. So the exercises lesson two, page 19. Yeah. And let's go through these things, and if you have any questions, just raise things as we go along here. The first one here is the Sugato Dhamman Basati. And again, I'm just going to continue the old way of analyzing the sentences. Always start with the verb first of all, start with the action, and then ask, is there an agent of the action? And secondly, is there a patient, is there a direct object of that action? Is there, you know, what is actually being done here? And then in this way, if you analyze it in that way, it usually comes together quite nicely. And as I mentioned before, the verb in parallel sentences, is it just like in German, it's almost always towards the end of the sentence. So you find, so usually you have a sentence, you look at the end first of all, and usually you find the verb there. Not always the case, but usually the case. So in Sugato Dhamman Basati, the end of the sentence is Basati. That's the verb. You also recognize the verb by the ending, because the ending of a verb are the endings you find in the table on page 10. Those are the verbal endings of the present tense. So basati, you assume that is a verb. You look it up in a dictionary, you find out it means to speak. You look at the ending, and you know from page 10, by consulting with page 10, the table there, you know that the T ending is third person singular ending. So you know it's he speaks, she speaks, it speaks. So that is the meaning of that one there, basati. And the next thing you ask yourself, once you have the verb in place, you ask yourself, is there an agent in that sentence? And if there is an agent in a sentence, the agent is always in the nominative case. So you look for something in the nominative case. And here you have the sugato, the O ending. And the O ending is always a nominative ending. So you know that sugato there must actually be the nominative. So because it's a nominative, it is the agent of the verb. So the sugato, what does the speaking here, right? It's the agent, the thing, what the person does the speaking. The sugato means, quite literally, well gone. And it's an epithet of the Buddha, title of the Buddha. So the well gone one, or you could say maybe just the Buddha, speaks. Or just leave it as sugato, the sugato speaks. And then you ask yourself, well, what is it that's being spoken then? And that which is being spoken is the direct object of the verb. It is that which undergoes the action of the verb. And that thing which is the direct object of the verb is always in the accusative case. Just like in German, accusative. So the accusative often has the ung ending, the A, and the N with the dot under it, that's the ung, it's pronounced ung. And of course, dhamman here is that case, it's in the accusative case. So the accusative is what is being, dhamman is what is being spoken here. So you have sugato speaks the dhamma. The well-gone speaks the dhamma. The well-gone speaks the doctrine, if you like, or speaks the teaching, the dhamma in this case. Dhamma has a very broad kind of meaning. Yeah. That's the meaning of that sentence. So I recommend, be very careful, again, as I said last time, analyzing this thing very carefully. Do it step by step. And then when you get to the complex sentences later on, it becomes much easier. If you're not careful in your analysis, you end up just mixing things up, basically. Yeah. Next one here, upasako pattan aharati. You have the verb again at the end, aharati. It means to bring. And you have the T ending, which is third person singular, so you know it's he, she, it brings. You ask yourself next, is there an agent in the sentence? And again, you look for something with a nominative ending, and you find upasako has a nominative O ending. So the upasako is the agent. So upasako means like a lay disciple, a male lay disciple in the Buddhist teachings. So the upasako is what does the bringing here. So the upasako brings. Now what he brings must be in the accusative case, because that which is being brought, that which undergoes the action, right? That which is being brought. Patang is accusative. You have the ang ending there again, which is accusative. In this case, it doesn't have to be accusative, but in this case it is accusative. So you have upasako brings the patang, which is the bowl. Patang is like the alms bowl. The lay disciple brings the bowl. What's the meaning of that? Does that make sense to everybody? Can you, yeah?
Can you use the word patient on the bowl?
That's what Eike Water uses. He uses the word patient.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, I think the word object is more common, but
object,
but patient is actually the kind of the staff. The word he uses, so
is it
that's what
he uses. Is it object of the verb?
Yeah. Patient object of the verb, yeah. Yeah. He uses patient. I'm not sure exactly why, but there are some grammatical reasons for that. Yeah. You have manusa bhavang icchanti. So again, you find the verb at the end of the sentence, ichante. If you look it up in the dictionary, you find out it means to desire. The verb means to desire. And the ending here is the anti ending, which is the third person plural. So this means they desire, third person plural, right? Is there another agent in the sentence? And again, you look for something in the nominative, and you find manusa is a nominative. The long A ending is a nominative ending plural. It's a plural nominative ending. So, manusa, look it up again, it means people, or persons, or yeah, people basically, which is already plural in English. So, people desire, or persons desire. What do they desire? In other words, what is the object, what is the patient here? They desire bhavan. Bhavan is the accusative. And bhava means existence. So, people desire existence. That's the... what this comes out as.
Or it doesn't mean good existence, it doesn't mean good existence.
Sorry?
It doesn't mean good existence, it just means existence.
Good fortune, you mean that?
It just means that they want existence.
This means existence, yeah. They probably want a good existence as well, but that's not implied there. Okay. Gaman gachama. Again, we find the gachama is the verb at the end. The ama ending is a first person plural. So because it's a first person plural, it's we, right? And gachama is to go, so we go. The next thing to do, you ask yourself, is there an agent in the sentence? In other words, is there a nominative in there? And you see there's nothing in that sentence which has a nominative ending here. So you are left with just we go. You don't have anything else to that actually does the action here. So just we go. And then you have gaman here. And gaman here is like basically the object of to go. If you remember from the previous lesson, the accusative case, gaman, the ang ending here, is also like the goal of motion. So we go to the gaman. Gaman means village. So we go to the village. It's not a direct object in the ordinary sense, but it is more like a slightly more indirect object because you have to use the word to there in between. So we go to the village. Samano agachati, again the verb is agachati at the end there. It means to come, agachati. And you have the T ending, which is third person singular. He, she, it comes. Is there an agent there? And there is. Samano is the agent. You have the nominative O ending. So the samano is the one who comes here. So the ascetic, or the one gone forth, comes. Tathagato sugato hoti. The verb is hoti. This is the verb to be. So because you have the verb to be, this is used in an equational sentence. It's wiping two words. A is B. So hoti, third person singular. It is. Whatever, it is, she is, there is. And usually when you have the verb to be like that, you find that you have two nouns, both in the nominative, and they are being equated, A is B. So you have here the tathagata is the sugata. Because when you use the verb to be, just to repeat this again, when you use the verb to be, it is essentially what you have, is you have one verb qualifying the other one. It's like saying the car is green. You're qualifying car with the word green, right? Car is green. The verb to be just qualifies things. It just gives an adjective, in a way, to the other noun. So whether you say the green car or the car is green, it matters the same thing. Or the car which is green, it's all the same thing. So that when you have the verb to be, you don't really have an object, you don't have an accusative, you just have two nominatives being equated with each other. Just like an adjective is in the same case as the main noun, where the adjective is predicated, as we come to call it, predicated using the verb to be, or whether it's just an ordinary adjective, is exactly the same thing. Yeah. Does that make sense to people? Yeah. So you have the car is green, or the green car is all the same. And in all those cases, green, both green and car have to be the same case because they are adjective and noun. So here you have sugato. The tathagata is the sugato. You have the verb voti. Tathagata, the thus gone, or just the tathagata. So the tathagata, the thus gone, is well gone. Basically, that's what the sentence says. It's a bit cryptic. The thus gone is well gone. Okay? So, Brahmano purise puchati, verb is puchati, to ask, and you have the NT ending, which means third person singular, so he, she, it asks. Is there an agent? And there is, lo and behold, there is an agent there. Brahmano is the nominative singular, so the Brahmano is the agent. So the Brahmin asks, so the priest asks, he's the agent. And who does he ask? If he asks anybody, he asks the purise. Purise is the accusative plural. So they are people being asked. The object is the thing which undergoes the asking, so to speak. Yeah. So the Brahmin asks the man, plural. Purise says accusative plural, and they can. So the Brahmin asks the man. Deva chavanti. Chavanti is a specialist word which means to fall away or to die. It's used particularly for devas, for gods, and it has a sense of falling away rather than dying. So the ending there, anti ending, is per person plural, so they die. And so the agent, is there an agent here? Deva is the agent because deva is a nominative plural, so the gods die. Basically, the gods die. But vadan vadanti, vadanti to speak, to say, third person plural, they say. Is there an agent in that sentence? There is no agent because there's no nominative in there, so it's just they say. There's nothing more than that. That's where it stops. So they say, what do they say? And that what is being said must be an accusative, right? So they say vadan. And vadan has this kind of broad meaning. It can mean like doctrine or statement or speech or whatever. So they say the statement or they say the doctrine or something like that. But what the precise meaning of these things, you can only know through the context. So here you can just have a rough idea what it means. Only when you get a full kind of page of Pali do you actually know the precise meaning of these things. Putta pabbajanti. So again, the verb is pabbajanti, to go forth. You look it up, go forth. Anti-ending, third person plural, they go forth. Agent, yes, there is an agent. Putta is the agent, nominative plural ending. It means sons. So the sons go forth, the agent here. The sons go forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sato tittati. 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 One of those Indian sounds. Tittati means to stand or to remain, depending on the context again. Third person singular. He, she, it stands. And then you have sato, which is the agent here. Which is sato. Sata is like a being. So, the being stands, or the being remains. Samane attan puchanti. Now this gets a bit tricky. Now this is more interesting, because this is not as obvious perhaps. But the verb here is puchanti. It means to ask, third person plural, they ask. And you ask yourself, is there an agent in the sentence apart from the they? And there is no agent apart from the they, because there's no nominative there, so it's just they ask. But then the interesting thing is that you have two accusatives here, so two patients in a sentence. And the reason that you have two patients is because puchanti, the word to ask, is one of these verbs that have double patience, the two patience, you ask somebody something, right? So because if you ask somebody something, you have two separate patience for a particular sentence. And the somebody that you ask is samane, accusative plural. So the ascetics or the ones gone forth, you ask the ascetics, and what you ask them is atta. You ask them the meaning or the purpose or the goal, or depending again on the context, what atta actually means. So you ask the ascetics the meaning. Yeah. That's the meaning of that phrase. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Pali to English. Let's move on to the much probably more difficult part, which is English into Pali. So they go to the minister. Now, if we start as usual, start with the verb, and the verb here is to go to. So that, how do you say to go to in Pali? Usually you say go to, you say upasam kamati, which means to approach. Or it could be gacchati, there's a couple of possibilities there. But let's say it's upasam kamati, which means to approach. And then you have the agent here is they are the ones doing the approaching. So because they are doing the agent, you have a third person plural, you have to add the third person plural ending to the verb. So you have upasam kamanti, the anti ending. So upasam kamanti, there is no agent apart from the they, so there's nothing in the nominative in the sentence, but they go to the minister. So because they go to the minister here is like the patient in a sense. Minister is mahamato, in the accusative is mahamatan. So if you use the verb gacchati, it's mahamatan gacchanti, they go to the minister. If you use the verb upasamkamanti, it's more tricky because that verb has a very special construction. So that verb is usually constructed with yena preposition, and the yena preposition takes the nominative. So use that would be yena mahamato in the nominative, tena upasamkamanti. That's just the way that verb actually works normally. So yena towards mahamato, the minister, tena upasamkamanti, that way they go. That's
so
the way that construction
goes. Yeah,
it's mahamato. And the reason for that is because the yena is a kind of indeclinable which actually takes the nominative. So whenever you have yena, that construction, it takes the nominative.
Okay. So it becomes towards the minister.
In a sense, so exactly, because that says towards precisely. Yeah, yeah.
So you need yena,
yeah.
And then yena,
you need the tena as well. Yena mahamat, yena mahamato, tena upasamkamanti. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how that works. But that is a very special verb. Most verbs don't actually work like that. It's pretty unique, that one. So if you use gacchanti instead, it's just mahamatan, gacchanti, and that actually takes the accusative case. What would have in the answer to that? Mahamattan upasamkamanti. Well, actually, that is not the way you would normally find it in the sutras. So that's a bit misleading, actually. Yeah. Just probably to make it easier for people. So they don't get confused.
I think you said in the first like three exercises that you changed some of the.
Yeah. Right. Make it easy for people. Yeah. Okay. So that was So just. But essentially, the normal way of doing this kind of thing would be mahamattan, accusative, gacchanti, go to, plural, third person plural. The men see the ministers, so the verb is to see, so the verb to see is pasati. The men is equivalent to they, so that's third person plural, so you have a third person plural ending, so you have, it's pasanti. Pasanti is the verb, agent is the men. So a men is purisa in Pali, men is plural, so you have purisa. So you have purisa pasanti. And that which they see is in the accusative. So you have the ministry, the what they see. So that would have to be in the accusative plural, because it is what is being seen. So you have purisa mahamate pasanti. And now this gets a bit more interesting in the next sentence here, a bit more difficult. The God who is not a human being approaches the thus gone. So here you have the verb approach again, which is upasamkamati. And because the agent here is a go, it's a third person singular agent, you have to put some kamati, the T ending here. Then you have the agent, which is the god, so that again is devo, agent, right? O ending is a nominative, so you have devo upasamkamati. And then comes this interesting phrase here, who is not a human being. Now this is an adjective, basically, adjectival phrase, because it describes the god, right? So any kind of descriptive phrase like that, descriptive term, describing God, is like an adjective. Now that adjective is always in the same case as the thing it describes. So because it describes God, and God is the nominative, that who is not a human being will also have to be the nominative. And how do you say that in Pali? Well, not the human being is amanuso. It was just, I think it was in the previous chapter here somewhere. So aman, it can be said in one single word in Pali, amanuso, which means not the human being. Yeah? And when you put that next to God, it acquires the sense of who is not, because it becomes like an adjective. So all you need to say in Pali, very simply, you can say devo amanuso. And that actually means the deva who is not a human being. Yeah? So all you do is put them together like that, and it actually, that's how you do it in Pali. Yeah? Main noun plus adjective plus qualifying word.
Yeah, so you don't need any of these qualities.
You don't need that. No, that's okay. Exactly. Yeah.
If you wanted to just say that the whole sentence by itself, you would. If you wanted to just say that the devil is not able to be, you have to do what amount of stuff.
Usually, but not even then, you don't actually have to do it, because the Pali has this thing that you know, if you have two words which just say A is B, you can actually leave the verb to be out, and it still means the same thing. Yeah.
If that's the whole idea
of
the sentence, you want to say?
Yeah. You can
leave
it out. It means the same thing, yeah.
You can translate that as the God is not a human being.
Yeah, you have to add the verb to be, yeah. But it's not
the
end of the problem, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, in this case, you don't actually have to add anything at all, because you have an other verb there, you have approaches, and that is actually sufficient, and then the stuff just comes together, yeah. So the God, so you have devo amanuso, and then you have one key approach is the thus gone. So the thus gone is the Tathagata. So again, usually you would say that it should be Tathagatan in the accusative, right? That's what you would expect in this kind of sentence. But because the verb upasamkamati has this strange construction, actually what normally the way it goes instead of having the accusative, you have the yena, and then you have the nominative, and then you have the tena, and then you have the verb. That's kind of the standard construction with this particular verb. So you end up with something like devo amanuso yena tathagato tena upasamkamati. That's what you normally would find in the Pali text when you see this.
Devo amanuso yena
tathagato tena upasamkamati. Yeah. That's a standard way of doing it in the Pali text.
But then the fact that and also the
No, because you have to know that the yena takes the nominative there. So whenever you see the yena, you know that the nominative which goes with yena has nothing to do with the agent of the sentence. It actually is, by definition, the patient, because it has the yena there towards the target.
The yena is the patient, but it's still the nominative.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. Okay, next one, page 20. You ask the philosopher the doctrine. So here you have asked. The verb to ask is puchati in Pali. The agent is you. So it's, you have the S-I ending to get the you, so it's puchati. And there is no agent here, you can see, apart from the you. So it's just puchati. In Pali, the nice thing about Pali is that because the ending already decides that it means you, you don't actually have to have a word which means you in there. Puchasi already means you ask. You ask, rather. Yeah. So it makes it easier. And what you're asking here, you're asking someone something. The someone is a philosopher, so that's the samano, I think is the word he wants to have here. So he asks the samana, so samanang, it has to be the accusative. And that's the person you ask, and you ask him about something, you ask him about the doctrine, which in this case presumably is Dhamma. So you have samanang dhamman puchasi, putting the verb at the end. This is one of those verbs that takes two patience again, to ask someone something again. We ask the philosopher, who is well gone? So we ask is, again, the verb puchati, and agent is we, so it's puchama, it's a third person, first person plural, and we ask, puchama. And who are we asking here? We're asking the philosopher, so it's again the samanang, this is the agent, right? Sorry, this is the patient, which is being asked. Now in this case, who is well gone? Who is well gone? This is the adjective, or the qualifying a phrase which qualifies philosopher. And because it qualifies philosopher, it has to be in the same case as philosopher. So philosopher, samanang, has to be the accusative, because of what's being asked. Who is well gone is the qualifying phrase, that will also be accusative. So that well gone is sugata, so it becomes sugatang. So if this whole thing, philosopher who is well gone, is simply samanang sugatang. That's all it is. You don't have to have anything there for who is. Who is just automatically included there. Samanang sugatang. We ask puchama. So samanang sugatang puchama. Is the is close enough. The thus wrong gives up negligence. So to give up here is a verb, so it's pahajati, third person singular. Thus gone is he, right? So pahajati. Thus gone is the tathagata again. He's the agent. Because he's the agent, we give him the O ending, tathagato. What does he give up? He gives up negligence. So negligence, it is that which is being given up. It's the patient or object of the verb. So it becomes, it has to have the accusative ending. And the word for negligence is pamada, so it becomes pamadang. So you get tathagato, pamadang, pahajati. Pahajati. The lay disciples enter the village. To enter is avisati, because it's the lay disciples who are the agent, it's a third person plural. So it's they enter, so it's pavisanti, the anti ending, third person plural. Lay disciples are the agents, they become go in the nominative, and lay disciple is upasaka, plural. Upasaka, and what they enter is the village. So because the village is what is being entered here, that goes in the accusative, so it's gamang. Gamang, the unending accusative. So you have upasaka, gamang, pavisanti. The ascetics meditate. To meditate is jayati, third person plural, because you have the ascetics, so it's jayanti. And then the ascetics is samana, these are the agentives, so you have the long A ending, which is the nominative plural. So samana jayanti. The substance remains, to remain here I think is tittati, which they have as remains, I presume. So tittati, third person singular, because the substance is like it, so it's third person singular. So you have the T ending, tittati, and the substance here I think is that what they want here is the word kayo. So kayo is a nominative singular, so you have kayo tittati, the substance remains. I'm not sure if it's a bit strange that translating kayo as substance, but anyway, that's what they have here. What was that?
Kayo
means body, but it means like any kind of conglomeration of things, basically. So it means body in a very broad sense, you know. It's like a body of evidence, you know, body of whatever. Yeah. So, body of bodies. He reaches the top. To reach, here is. What is the word that I use for reaching here? I don't know. Pusati, perhaps? Pusati, okay. So pusati, and he, so it's T ending, so it's pusati, and the top is angang. So angang is the accusative because it's what's being reached. So angang pusati. We ask the philosopher the meaning. We ask is, again, puchati, so it's the we, so it's puchama. And the person who's being asked is a philosopher, and it goes in the accusative, so it's samanang, so samanang puchama. And the meaning is also what is being asked. We ask somebody something, So both of those are in the accusative. So samanam atan puchama. He gives alms. To give is deity, which is just he gives. That's deity at the end of the story. There's no other agent there. And he gives alms, which is pinda. So pinda. Now that would be probably, well, this is a tricky one because it depends on the meaning of alms here. Sometimes you have in English, you may find that what is plural in English might actually be singular in Pali here. So the question here is, alms, is that plural, singular in Pali? And it's probably actually probably singular in Pali. It's probably pindang, which it probably means alms. So probably pindang deity is probably the answer to that one. Right?
I thought
it was
the
Dharma Tika. Dharma Tika. Is that what you mean?
You said
you
give
the Dharma Tika. Yeah. Dharma is more like to wear or to hold. If you have a robe, you Dharma Tika. It's like you're wearing a robe.
Oh,
yeah. It's a different verb. Yeah. Dharma Tika. Deity is there to give. Yeah. It could also be Dharma Tika, which is another version of the same verb. Yeah. So, everybody happy with that? Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. It's reasonably straightforward now, but it's important to really have a proper understanding of what's going on now because it gets complicated very quickly. So I recommend you to, if you have any, even the slightest doubt with what actually is going on, keep on asking until you get it clarified, because if you don't get this, you're going to get into serious trouble once we get into chapter 5 and 6 and 7, etc. So, clear as the blue sky or as clear as mud. Okay, well, if everybody's happy, then we'll just move on. Lesson 3 is really, really easy. I'm not even sure why it's a separate lesson, because it's so short, but anyway, that's what it is. So we'll just go through it. So now we get on to some of the nouns. Now the point, one of the things that I haven't mentioned yet, which is an important aspect of Pali, is that there are many different types of nouns. And nouns are classified according to the endings. So if they have a certain ending, then it's a certain class of noun. If it has a different ending, it's a different class of nouns. Like typical endings is like A is a typical ending, I is a typical ending, U is a typical ending, Ant is a typical ending. And each of these endings means that it is in a different class, is a different grouping of nouns. Now, each group of nouns have different endings. So, sorry, I'm not really being clear here. Each group of nouns has different inflections. So if you have, for example, in the A nouns, what you have seen so far are the A masculine nouns in A. Now, masculine nouns in A, nominative singular is O. But if it's a different group of nouns, like the I nouns, it will have a different masculine singular ending. It won't be O, it will be I, for example, instead. So for each class of nouns, the endings will vary, and you will actually have to, so you have to know, in a sense, what type of noun it is. Only then can you actually understand how it actually is inflected in the various cases. So that is what's happening here. So now what we're coming to here, we're actually getting into different class of nouns. You see on page 20, you have the Bhagavant, Brahman, and Rajan nouns. Now, these nouns here are nouns in Ant, Bhagavant, and nouns in An, An. So because they are not nouns in A, what we've seen so far nouns in A, what that means is that the nominative and the accusative and the plural are going to look different for these nouns than for the other nouns. Does that make sense? So later on I'll give you a table. This is a table done by Bernard Tussitter. You can see how many endings there are here. This is the kind of table you actually require to be able to read Pali properly. Because this gives you, this across there, these are all the different types of nouns you have. Different types of nouns. And then here you have the different cases, plural, singular, and different cases. So whenever you wonder about a particular ending, what it can be, you have to find the endings in this table here. This helps you to sort of to navigate the Pali language. Without this kind of table, it's very, very hard. So I'll give you this to you later on. So what we are seeing here, we're seeing different types of nouns. These are Bhagavant and Rajan nouns. And because they are a different class of nouns, their endings will be different. So this is what he says here. He says here, a few masculine nouns in stem other than A are of common occurrence. The usual title for the Buddha in Pali text has the stem form Bhagavat. So if you look up in the dictionary, you find Bhagavat like that as a stem form, meaning the fortunate, the bountiful, the master, the blessed one, the exalted one. Blessed one is a very common translation in the suttas, in Bhavika Bodhi, for example. The inflection in the nominative and accusative are as follows. And now you will see why it gets difficult, why you have to be aware of these different classes of nouns. Because here, the nominative singular is Bhagava. So Bhagava is the long A ending there, right? Now that long A ending is the same as the nominative plural of the other nouns we saw before here. So if you remember the other nouns we had before, the nominative plural actually is a long A ending here.
Gama.
Gama, exactly. It means villages, nominative plural. But here is the nominative singular, because it's a different type of noun. So that's why it's important that you actually are aware of the different classes of nouns. Only then can you figure out whether they are nominative, whether they are accusative, whether they are singular, whether they are plural, etc. Right? So think about that a little bit and see if you can sort it out. So that is, Bhagava is not the nominative plural, it's the nominative singular. That's an important thing here. Then we have the accusative singular, is Bhagavantang. And you can see that is very, very similar to the other nouns, because we're talking about accusative as the ang ending, and here you see the ang ending again. So similar to the other ones, which is very handy, makes it easier. But then the plural here is Bhagavanto. And you can see that Bhagavanto is very different from the plural of the A stem nouns, because the plural there was either the long A for the nominative or the E ending for the accusative, right? But here you have the O ending, which looks almost like a nominative singular for the A nouns. So you have to be very kind of clear about the differences in the nouns here. This is important, quite important to realize. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I'll go through the next one as well, and then we can maybe discuss it a bit more if it doesn't make sense. So then you have the noun Brahman. Brahman means God. This is the Brahminical god of the Brahmin religion in ancient India, still today. And is reflected as follows. And here you can see the nominative again is Brahma. You have the long A ending. And the accusative is Brahmanang. That is closer to the accusative ending. You have the ang ending there, which is Brahmanang. And then you have the noun Rajang, which means king. And that is again a similar kind of inflection. So read this again and see if you can understand what's going on here. It's important to understand this, because this is kind of fundamental to the way Pali works. Yes?
Is there some reason you don't get the plural form for that about Brahma?
I don't know. They should have. There is plural, because the point is that in the Buddhist cosmology you have many Brahmas, right? It's only the Hindus that have one Brahma, but according to Buddhism, there's many Brahmas. So it actually is a plural form there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can actually see that in the sutras, they're using a plural form sometimes.
Is it
Brahma? Actually, we'll let you put this table come to hand. I'll tell you what it is after looking at the table. Brahma, so the table comes in. So you... Brahma, plural, nominative, should be, according to this, it should be Brahmano. Yeah, Brahmano. Should be plural. You do, because you have the AN, this is the AN class, right?
Oh, the AN.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's classed according to its ending, right?
Oh.
So, Brahman and Rajan end in AN. So because they end in AN, they are the AN class for nouns. Bhagavan is the AMT ending, but it's the AMT and class of nouns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they classify them. So when you look up in the dictionary, you know the class straight away, because you can see the ending of the nouns. You know the class by just looking at the ending here.
So, going back to the Bhagavan, you have only one case in plural for nominative of accusative.
Mm.
Okay.
That's common. So what that means is that when you read it, it can be, it's ambiguous. You don't know whether it's the agent or the patient.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Okay.
So what you have to do then, you have to look at the other part of the sentence to find out whether it's the agent or patient.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes you don't even know 100% for sure. And this is where interpretation of things come into the picture, you know, because you sometimes it's very hard to tell that.
Yes. But I would think
Not often, but sometimes it is, because sometimes the Buddha talks about all the blessed ones of the past, for example, and it's using that plural for that one hand. But sometimes you get this sentence as well, hand. All the Buddhas of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah. So the principle of different classes of nouns is important, because the endings, what is nominative, what is accusative, will vary depending on the class of nouns. Okay, then we have some more verbs on page 21, and again, forget about the conjugations. The conjugations are absolutely irrelevant for understanding Pali, for reading Pali, it doesn't matter, so forget about that. It's really only the endings that really are required to know, to understand, to be able to read it. I'll just briefly go through some of these verbs, because it's nice to actually know a bit about these words here. Kateti is to tell or to relate, and it's a very common verb in the Pali Suttas. You have katta, which also is like a talk. So you have dhammakatang, which means like a dhamma talk in Pali. Dhammakatang kateti, he relates the dhamma talk, which has a dhamma talk. Kameti, now this verb is related to the verb kama, which means sensual desire. So here is quite literally, you have sensual desire, quite literally. He has sensual desire for something. So he loves, that's what Hara translates it here. Chadeti, to throw away, to abandon. Panyapeti, fairly common, to declare. It either means to declare something, or it can also mean to prepare, like you prepare a seed. It's a very common usage for that word. Prepare a seed, you panyapeti, that particular seed. Dareti, this is the word we talked about before, Edward. We've got next here, which has all these different types of meanings. To hold, to wear, to have. For example, you have a robe, that means dareti. It means that you basically have the robe, he has the robe. It also means remembrance, that's another important meaning of that particular verb.
What does the previous PA give to the nya?
Well, the point about these prefixes is that they're very kind of vague in the meaning, they don't have a very precise meaning. So rather than like thinking about the meaning of the prefixes, look at the whole word itself. So panapeti as a whole word means to prepare, declare.
Okay.
Yeah. If you take away the PA, basically you end up with a nya. The nya is to know. So it has to do with knowledge. So here, it gets a bit complicated. I won't even get into it.
Yeah.
But just think of it as declaring or preparing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mantete is a very kind of marginal verb. We don't find it very much, but he has brought it in it because he's probably using it afterwards. Next page we have amantete, to address. Very common in the suttas. The Buddha addresses the bhikkhus. It's always amantete. Vanchete, to deceive. Not that common. Fortunately, you have abhivadeti, which means to salute or to greet. So like if you bow down to somebody, you abhivadeti very often. Nivaseti, to dress, specifically means to dress with a lower robe.
Could you say, for example, the long A prefix? I'm just curious, because the form was arati, and then this one too,
mateti,
and abhivadeti. Oh, okay. I read in the like, and then verb, but it seems to be like the Montaigne is discussed confidentially and the is addressed publicly.
Long A is just another prefix that you can use for words. And again, prefixes have a very broad meaning, category meaning usually. You can't really pin down meaning anything in particular. Particularly the long A, if you have a short A, it's very clear. It's a negative, but the long A doesn't have such a clear meaning. So I wouldn't bother about learning, trying to learn the meanings from learning the meaning of the prefixes, because it's so broad and so unclear. But if you're interested, I think actually, I wonder whether they are in here actually.
Yeah, I have the chief.
He says that, you know, he gives a rough meaning of these prefixes. And it says here that long a can mean at, near to, until, away, as far as, all around, and it can be an intensifier. So, I mean, you know, it can mean almost anything. I mean, it's very. So I wouldn't worry about understanding the meaning of these things. I think it's much easier to learn the verb directly, as it is. That's what I reckon. So abivadet means to salute or to bow or whatever. Abivadet to dress, it means specifically dressing the lower robes, the sabong, the antaravaska. Pantisangvedet means to feel or to experience. In the suttas, you see that all the time. Pantisangvedeti, what is the experience? What is the classical example in the suttas? Pantisangvedeti.
Vedana.
Yeah, it's related to Vedana, precisely, with the prefix pati. That's exactly right. But I'm just trying to think whether it is used in any kind of.
He experiences the jhana.
No.
No.
He touches it. It's he enters. Upasampancha viharati jhana. It's a completely different idiom. It doesn't matter. It means to experience, basically. Whatever you experience or feel goes under this one. Sukha padasamveda, that's a possibility. He experiences happiness. Okay, nibbetete, this is a rare word, so I'm not sure why it's got in here, but probably because he wants to use it, so to unravel, to explain, to rebut, comes in very handy. Okay, so that is the, those are those verbs, just have a quick look at them, and then you have the some nouns down here. Now, some of these nouns are very important nouns. Kalo is very important, it means time. And you see this again and again in the suttas, time or opportunity, and kalo, very important one. Pachayo is very important. Pachaya is in the dependent origination, you have, you know, abhijja pachaya sankara, whereby abhijja is the condition for sankara. So sankara is from the condition of abhijja. So cause or condition. Very important for the you know, cause of the Buddhism is really a cause of the reason, talks about causality all the time, it's very important. So this word becomes very important because of that. Bhāro, burden or load, this is an important one. Whatever load, for example, you have on your cart is called the bhāro. There's a sutta Sangyutta Nikaya called the Bhāro Sutta, and that sutta is basically talking about how the five khandhas are the burden. And it's one of those suttas which people are taking to mean that there is a person apart from the five khandhas. Because if the five khandhas are burden, well, who is carrying the burden? That must be the person. But the point is that the five khandhas are the burden without there being a person there. They are kind of the burden without the carrier of the burden. There just is a burden, that's all. Is a kind of very Buddhist way of looking at things. It's kind of interesting. Then you have labo. Labo is gain. Now this is, you know, you have the famous eight worldly dhammas. This is one of the eight worldly dhammas. Gain and loss, happiness and suffering, fame and disrepute, and praise and blame. Praise, I think the last one. So labo here is one of those eight worldly dhammas. Again, very common word in the suttas. Vipako, very important word, kamma vipaka, the result that you get from actions, volitional actions, is vipaka here, vipako. Pala and vipaka go together. Pala and pala is fruit, vipaka result, go together. Now, I think it relates to cooking actually, vipako, that would have been cooked or something, that's probably the etymological meaning. Vihara, you know that word, surely, vihara is like a dwelling or a building, or even a monastery sometimes. But it also means, and this is the interesting thing, it also has a figurative meaning here, where it actually means a dwelling, like a meditative dwelling. To dwell in a particular vihara, which means that you have attained a certain state. And you have the verb viharati, which means, to dwell in a certain state. It dwells in a state. It can mean either you dwell in a building or dwell in a state.
Brahma vihara.
Brahma vihara is another one, exactly. Hatta, hand. So, quite handy word, hatta.
The first of the four Brahmanas.
So don't forget the handy word, hand. Okay, so that's incredibly, there's nothing much to this chapter at all, except for understanding the different classes of nouns. This is the first time he brings in this idea of different classes of nouns. Try to get your head around that, to understand what that means. Because that's important to understand that you have different classes there. Apart from that, it's just vocabulary really. Yeah. So, yeah. Anything else? Need to talk about anything which is obscure?
Do we have more books and stuff?
I don't know. I think Tony is only here today, right? So you can be. Are you going tomorrow, Tony? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you won't need a book anyway. It's only anywhere really. Yeah. So. Andrea, are you going to stay here? But you have a book, Andrea? No, you don't have a book either. Yeah, okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Maybe we should order some more books. We can stack it up at the library. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't think we have any more in the monastery. I think it's all out, really.
Maybe we can look in the sewing room or somewhere, right? There was